I want to invite you to take your Bibles and find the book of Luke for just a few minutes, Luke chapter 4. I thought it would be good for us to begin this series, which each week we're going to have a guest from a local ministry just to remind us of some things that are going on in our community and ways that we can get involved. Actually, Dorinda will be at a table out in the lobby whenever we're done, so if you want to talk to her, feel free to do so. We're also doing a food drive throughout the month, and we're going to split the food between the Coweta Food Pantry and then also Bridging the Gap. And instead of just bringing mountains of cans and whatever, they can actually buy it many times cheaper than we can. And sometimes it's just simpler because they know what they need, as opposed to us just trying to guess what they might would need. And so we had the idea of just saying, let's just bring jars of jelly, and then in addition to that, bring some cash that we would put along with that. We'll have a little box out there you could put cash in. You can bring a jar of jelly, and then we'll be able to share that with these ministries and be able to bless them, and they'll be able to purchase food share with folks in our community. There may be other ways that you'd like to get involved, and you can talk with Dorinda about that and other ways we as a church can do that. But over the next weeks, we'll have different guests. So in Luke chapter 4, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture where Jesus sets up his mission statement. And I just want to read it, and I mention four things from it. The thing that I think captured me in this passage is in verse 20, and we're going to read the whole thing, but in verse 20, the Scripture says, he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. It says, and then the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. This anticipation, there was a pause, everyone wondering, what is he going to say now? That's such a key thing, because what Jesus said next set the stage for his ministry for the next 3 years. Now, in this particular passage, Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, we know that Jesus just went through a temptation in the wilderness. He just had spent 40 days alone, and if you know the story, he was tempted by Satan during this time. It was a great challenge. And Jesus left the wilderness then to go into Galilee and to begin his official 3 years of ministry before his crucifixion. And so I want us to begin reading in verse 14. We'll go down through verse 21. The Scripture says, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I want us to think about this passage for just a few minutes. He read from the prophet Isaiah. We assume that this was just the normal reading. Maybe this was the passage of the day, or maybe the attendant just gave him the scroll of Isaiah and he opened it up and chose this particular part. We don't really know. But he read from the 61st chapter of Isaiah, and in this passage, this section, as the prophet Isaiah was inspired of God to write this, he was speaking of the coming Messiah. He was speaking of the ministry of Messiah among God's people. And Jesus read this passage, and then he said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Can you imagine the stir that went across the crowd when Jesus claimed to be the Messiah of Isaiah 61? Can you imagine what happened? Actually, they weren't too pleased with that. The people couldn't believe what they were hearing. Some were excited, others thought blasphemy. It created quite a stir. But what I want us to focus on in this particular passage is the four things that we see in this scripture that Jesus claimed about himself and about his ministry and about his mission. And I want us to see these four things because I want us to realize that God has called us to join Him in what He's doing in the world. And if we want to join God in what He's doing in the world, it would help us to understand His mission. What did Jesus say He actually came to do? There's a variety of places in the Word of God that speak to the mission of Jesus. But this one is pretty powerful as He goes back to the prophet Isaiah, brings it to present tense, and says, this is what I'm here to do. Notice the four things that I want to mention. First, He says He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to preach the gospel. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, the good news, the word gospel means good news. The good news is a wonderful message of salvation. We oftentimes think of that. Matter of fact, another place Jesus said that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So we understand the message of the gospel is that salvation is available to all mankind, all of humanity, that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. We understand this message of the gospel. God loves the world and He offers salvation to all of humanity. Or as God inspired the Apostle Paul to say in Colossians chapter 1, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's great news. That's great news as Paul says He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. I'll just tell you, we have a tendency to gloss over that. I do. I've been a Christian all my life. I can't hardly remember not being a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 7 years old. I grew up in the church. I knew about Jesus from day one. Jesus was a part of the conversation in my home. We talked about Jesus all the time. We sang about Jesus. We went to church and learned about Jesus. We studied the Bible at home and at church. And it was just a part of our culture. But this passage of Scripture says we were rescued from the dominion of darkness. Now, our young people have been in Alaska. Our other group in Mexico. You begin to see realities of darkness when you step out of your little bubble, out of your little world, where we're all comfortable, where we're familiar, and we step into the bubbles of other people. We step into the worlds of other people, and we realize, you know what? The world's not so glamorous as we thought. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. You watch the evening news, and you realize how strong this dominion of darkness really is. We're surrounded by it. And God says He has rescued us from that. Let's not move past that too quickly in our lives. We are this morning right now. But you need to go home. I need to go home. We need to spend some time thinking in our own lives. What does it mean that I have been rescued from the dominion of darkness? Now, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I want to tell you, Jesus came and He gave His life for you on a cross so that He could rescue you from the dominion of darkness. And He offers salvation to you. He offers forgiveness to you and a new start and a place in His family. When we talk about the gospel, which means good news, certainly this is good news that He came to rescue us from the dominion of darkness. But the gospel is more than just a message of eternal salvation. Now, certainly it is that. We oftentimes think of that mostly. But notice that Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We need to realize this morning that there is a sense in which the gospel is a message of hope, not only just for salvation, but it is a message of hope for the poor in the world. God cares about people who are bound in poverty. He cares about the plight of humanity, the endless cycle that people just cannot get out of. Jesus said He came in part for that, to be able to communicate God's love, to be able to rescue people who are caught up in this cycle, to give them hope and to give them help. We're surrounded by poverty. I didn't ask you to run how many impoverished people really live in Coweta County. I'm not sure how you come up with that number. I did read that nationally that 1 in 5 children live in poverty. Breaks your heart just to hear about homeless children in our community and the number of homeless children. 1 in 5 live in poverty. The Children's Defense Fund said that the 14.7 million poor children in our nation exceeds the populations of 12 U.S. states combined: Alaska, Hawaii, Idaho, Maine, Montana, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Vermont, West Virginia, and Wyoming. And it's greater than the combined populations of the countries of Sweden and Costa Rica. This is just children in poverty. We can look through the scriptures and see that almost 2,000 scriptures deal with poverty and justice. The gospel has a future tense that offers us eternal hope, but the gospel also has a present tense that is good news, and it's how it affects the world now. You see, the gospel is not just about heaven, it's about earth also. It's not just about eternal life, but it's about life here and how God has called us to make a difference in our world. He has challenged us to be difference makers in the lives of people around us. Even as Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, which is not just you can be saved, but it's also that God loves you and cares about you right now. Because I want to tell you, for someone who doesn't know Jesus and they're struggling in poverty, it's very difficult for them to listen to a message about our eternal hope when they can't seem to find hope right now. God calls us to reach out and to love in His name. Good news to the poor and helping those who are oppressed means so many different things in our lives, but God calls us to be about that business. And so we need to ask ourselves, if we are going to be a part of God's mission in the world, what are we doing to make His salvation known to the world? What are we doing to reach out and to care for those who are poor and struggling in need? What are we doing to help those who are oppressed in our world? Jesus said, I came to preach the gospel to the poor. The second thing He said in this passage is He came to free the captives. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and to set free those who are oppressed. You see, people are in bondage and oppressed because of a variety of reasons. One, they're in bondage just because of sin. Sin does that. It enslaves us. It entraps us. The scripture says in Romans 6:6-7, says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. You see, God says, I came to die for you. I came to save you so you would no longer be slaves to sin. So what is that saying? It's saying that before you became a Christian, you were a slave to sin. You were in bondage to sin. And there's so many people in our world so wrapped up in sinful lifestyles. And they're so immersed in it. Many people don't even realize how far away from God they really are. In bondage to sin. Jesus said, I came to set people free from that. I came to give you hope. I want to tell you, that encourages me. That God says, if you're struggling with sin today, if you're in bondage to that, Jesus came to set you free. He came to give you hope. He came to pick you up and know you really can live the victorious Christian life. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Jesus in you is our solution to every spiritual need in our life. We can have spiritual victory. We don't have to live in bondage to sin. We don't have to give in. We have a tendency to blow sin off and say, well, after all, I'm just human. No, you're not just human, because if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you and lives in me. And we can stand firm and stand strong as we surrender to Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to set us free from that bondage. Are you set free? Are you walking in that freedom that God offers to you? Not just bondage to sin, but how about bondage to addictions? In our world, our community, consumed with addictions. 23 million Americans age 12 or older suffer from alcohol and drug addiction in our country. National Institute on Drug Abuse said, the abuse of tobacco, alcohol, and illicit drugs is costly to our nation, exacting more than $700 billion annually in costs related to crime, lost work productivity, and health care. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? But what about the toll on the lives of those who are trapped, those who are caught in the evil grip of addiction? Regardless of what it is, there's all kinds of things that we can be addicted to. Jesus said, I came to set you free from that. I came to give you hope, to know that you don't have to stay on this treadmill that never ends. You really can find release and you really can find victory. I'm so grateful for our Celebrate Recovery ministry, because that's what that's about, is to say there really is hope and there is help. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter what the problems are in your life, there really is help. God offers that to us. I want us to be a church that makes sure that our community knows that Jesus came to set us free. Set us free from sin, set us free from death, set us free for eternity, but set us free from addictions and the problems that so oftentimes happen in our life. One thing I like about this passage of Scripture, Jesus said that he was sent to proclaim release to the captive. One thing that captures me about that passage is he said, I came to let you know that you have been released. I love that. We have a tendency to think we got to work to release ourselves somehow. But what Jesus says is, you know what? Whenever you surrender your life to Jesus, you become part of his family, you are released. You are set free from these things that tie you down and hold you in bondage. Because of Jesus, we have victory. I love that statement, to make sure we know it. We don't have to live in bondage anymore, and we don't need to, in our minds, think that we are trapped in this thing. Jesus came to set us free, to free the captives. If we want to be about God's work in our world, we need to not only be making sure that we're proclaiming the gospel and proclaiming the gospel to the poor, but we also need to make sure that we are proclaiming to people that there's freedom in Christ. There is hope in Jesus Christ. The third thing he said he came to do was to heal the sick. He says, recovery of sight to the blind. Jesus was always surrounded by sick and struggling people. Here's a fact. Our world is broken. It is not the way it's supposed to be. Sin has an effect on our world. It is a brokenness that we all experience. Physically, we are broken. Our bodies are wearing down. Sickness is a reality in our world. Now, frankly, sometimes sickness comes because we bring it on ourselves. Isn't that the truth? I bet there's a lot of illnesses that could be overcome if we just eat right and exercise. What do you think? Maybe we ought to go on a kick for that. Now, there's a thought. Now, I'm starting to meddle now, right? But maybe we ought to say, hey, let's be healthy people. We are the temple of God. Let's take care of ourselves. You know, I have a feeling there's people that go home to see Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, I really wasn't planning on you being here for another 10 years. You know, if you take care of yourself, you might could do ministry a little longer. There's something to be said for that. But the fact is that we're not going to stay around in this life the way we are forever. God's got a better plan. And so Jesus had a heart for the sick. He had compassion on those who were struggling. And if we want to be about God's work in our world, it means that we embrace those who are struggling. It means that we walk alongside of those who are having problems, physical problems, emotional problems, mental problems. Jesus came to heal the sick. I think it's got to include compassion for the elderly, for the suffering, for the sick, and on we could go. If we really want to be about God's work in our world, it's got to include that. And so maybe in response to this, we ought to ask God, God, give us a heart for people who are struggling with some sort of issue, some sort of problems. And then I love this fourth thing he said. He came to declare the grace of God, is how I summarize it. Verse 19, it says he came to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. What is he talking about? This is a reference to an Old Testament concept called the year of Jubilee. It's an interesting thing that God had written into his law that said every 50 years we celebrate the year of Jubilee. It is a year of grace. It is a year of renewal. Is a focus upon forgiveness. It was a time when debts were all forgiven. Hey, let's have a year of Jubilee. I'm all about that. It was a time when slaves were set free. It was a time of new beginnings. And what Jesus was saying is that his coming into the world as Messiah, Savior of the world, was to issue in a year of Jubilee, a season of grace, mercy, forgiveness, new beginnings. And here's the thing, it wasn't just 365 days. He issued in a whole new era of Jubilee where God offers salvation to humanity. He offers forgiveness and hope and fresh starts. This is what the gospel is all about. It's a time of starting new. It's a time of hope. It's a time of encouragement. I cannot think of a time when this message has been in greater need than now. That there is a time of hope. There is a time of encouragement. There is a time of new beginnings. And Jesus came to make that message known to the world. So if we want to join Jesus and His mission in the world, we are to declare a year of jubilee, a season of forgiveness, of grace, of fresh starts. I love Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read this whole section, verses 1 through 9. It says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." I understand if we stopped right there, that is a dismal picture of humanity. But notice he says, "You formerly walked this way." He's writing to believers. He's writing to Christians. He's saying these things describe your life in the past. But look at verse 4. "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ," the year of Jubilee. "By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." If we want to be in on what God is doing, it means that we're going to join Jesus in His mission in the world. Because even though Jesus ascended a couple thousand years ago, and we know He's coming again, He's still at work. He's still working to accomplish His mission in the world, and He's asking us as His church to be a part of what He's doing. It means we got to preach the gospel to the poor. That's got to be who we are. That's got to be our heartbeat. Make sure that the world knows there's salvation only in Jesus Christ, and somehow it's got to embrace those who are impoverished, those who are struggling, those who have nothing. Not only that, but to free the captives. There's people in bondage all around us. You may be in bondage. Jesus came to set you free. That's got to be what we're about. I will encourage us always to do ministries like Celebrate Recovery. I would always encourage us to help people learn to speak English and learn how to read. I would always encourage us to do the ministries that reach out and lovingly care for the needs of people around us. We'll do that till Jesus comes. To heal the sick, to be a part of embracing those who are struggling. And then make sure the world knows that this is a season of grace and forgiveness. This is a year of jubilee. As you think about these next 4 weeks, as we walk through this give back focus during this month of August, I want to encourage you to think a lot about the ministry of Jesus in the world and how God is inviting us to join Him. Now, that day in Nazareth, when Jesus read this passage, and everyone as if was sitting on the edge of their seats with rapt attention, excited, expectant, now what is He going to say? They'd heard much about this young rabbi. Now what's He going to say? And when Jesus said, "Today, this has been fulfilled," the crowd stirred. Some were angry. Many were angry. Some may be excited. I wonder if anyone in the crowd said, "Awesome, I want to be a part of that." Some said, "No, let's stone him because he's claiming to be God." What is your reaction when Jesus said, "Today this was fulfilled. He has come so that these things will be done"? I hope our reaction as the people of God is to say, "I want to be a part of that. That is what I am to be about. I am to be about the mission of Jesus in the world." There's so much that we could do. So many ways that we could spend our lives. I can't think of anything better than come to the end of our life and say, "My life was not just a success, but it brought about great significance because I was a part of what God was doing in the world. I was making a difference in the lives of others." I think in our early days, maybe we're thinking about how to make a living. Maybe the second half, we're thinking about how to make a difference. Why not let's all think about that from day one? Because what's most important is pouring ourselves out so that others can be set free, so that others can have hope, so that others can have eternity, so that others can have wholeness and healing and help and strength and encouragement. This is what Jesus was about, and he's called us as his church to do the same. Could we stand together, please, and let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for including this passage in your word and how we see Jesus fulfilled this in his ministry and how you call us to be a part of this same thing in our world today. I pray for us. I pray for us as a church that you would burden our hearts for the needs of others. It's so easy to become self-focused and to live our lives just for ourselves. But you've told us to be about others, to fulfill your call on our life and the world. So God, help us today as we begin this new series, help us to think about how we can give back, about how we can be a part of what you're doing in our world. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I realize that whenever we're in bondage, sometimes it's hard to think about giving back. Whenever we're lost, whenever we're struggling, whenever we're having problems, sometimes it's difficult to apply the principles of being a part of Christ's mission in the world. Maybe for you, that would mean today starting fresh with repentance and trusting Christ as your Savior, laying your struggles and your needs at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I just want to be in on what you're doing in the world. I want us to bring our service to a close with a time of commitment, a time of decision. Your commitment may just simply be, God, I want to give back. And so I just commit my mind and my heart to you over these next 4 weeks as we talk about these things. Show me how I can be involved in making a difference in the world. Your response may be, God, I'm not a Christian. I need to give my life to you. It could be that you would say, I've been attending Sunrise for a while and you're ready to officially call Sunrise your church home and you'd like to come and take a step toward membership today. I invite you to come while we're singing together. Lord, we just commit our time to you, our thoughts, this time of commitment. Work in our hearts that we may be obedient. In the name of Jesus, we pray.